For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is the Games High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Into the 8 o'clock hour in the Scoreboard Show. All games I've kicked off now around the state, and we keep an eye on those scores for you. Sam Crenshaw, along with Chris Parker, and our cast of thousands that are out around the metro Atlanta area keeping up with the games. So glad you're with us. Coach, you see a score or two you want to let people know before we go to our guest?
Yeah, I saw a few, Sam. Let's see. Blessed Trinity and Hebron were 0-0 into the first quarter. Let's see.
I got one final score.
What you got?
Holy Innocence beats Therrell 20-6.
20-6.
20-6. That was an early starter, so that game is already done. We keep an eye out for that one. Fellowship Christian is leading Kings Ridge. I think there's 21-0 there up there playing that game in the second quarter right now. Hall County's up on White County 14-7. That is a second quarter score.
Early game that. Little shocking to me. Cherokee 14, North Paulding nothing.
Ooh.
Early Cherokee needs to win that one, establish some region standings. It's a region game. Kennesaw Mountain 14, Lithia Springs nothing this first quarter. Kale 6, Columbia 0 first quarter. Sprayberry 7, Riverwood 0 first quarter.
Okay. And do we have a pick? We got an update on the Pickens Dragons?
Do we have an update on the Dragons? The Dragons are playing Dawson County.
That's Dawson County.
Dawson and Pickens, you know, rival.
Do we have an update?
We have an update. At the end of the first quarter, Pickens is up 7-3 against Dawson.
Yeah, how about that?
All right.
Is that a Cub reporter?
Yeah, the Cub reporter.
Yeah.
Right here in our midst tonight.
In our midst, we have a Cub reporter, my daughter Ellie.
Yeah.
Who's through her friends keeping up with the Pickens score.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's going to do that for us tonight.
Yeah, we might even give her a few more assignments if she did okay on that. Dom, was that okay? I mean.
We'll give her a passing grade.
Okay, yeah, that was okay. Then we
I'll
make
take
an ask.
It, I'll take it.
Yeah, we can ask her for a couple more. But, you know, yeah, we got the ultimate Cub reporter, my own Cub.
Yeah, is here. Cub is here with us
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, so we're glad Ellie's here.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, folks, as we mentioned early on, our first guest for the evening is Coach Mike Hancock, and he's been well documented and reported what has happened at Appalachian High School in that community. The team is doing their best to get back to work and back on the practice field. And he said he spent some time with us. We are happy to have him with us tonight. Coach Hancock, welcome to the Scoreboard Show with Sam and Chris. So glad for you to be with us this evening.
Yes, sir. I appreciate both you guys having me on. And just thank you to be able to share about our young men and our young people at Appalachian. We've got some great ones.
Coach Hancock, first, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate your leadership. Can't even imagine, you know, what you're doing there. But brag on your guys a little bit. Talk to us about, you know, what's going on.
The biggest thing I keep telling people, and it's not just our football players, it's our softball kids and our band kids and, you know, cross country, our flag football kids. The teenagers today, Chris, I've been doing this 28 years. I'm one of the old heads. And they're resilient. And that's what I've learned. And, and how they have faced this adversity. Now, we've got kids that are struggling, obviously. I've got coaches that are struggling. But, you know, when we're together, you know, as a football, whether it be, you know, we've taken a couple of field trips. I know everybody's seen, you know, we went to the Falcons and we've done some other things together. And when we're together, everybody's face changes, their eyes change. And that's the biggest thing. And I've seen all of our athletic teams that have been able to get together. It's just those kids and the coaching staff of not only football, but the other ones. It's amazing to see how teenagers affect us as adults. And it's a blessing to be around our kids.
Yep. Coach, you guys are back practicing. What has that been like? And, you know, what's the schedule and what can you share with us about going forward with your team and really with all the fall sports teams who've had their everything disrupted?
Yes, sir. Now, as far as football goes, we had to reacclimate. So we spent 5 days this week reacclimating. We practiced every day this week. I'm one of those guys that's gotten used to, I love these morning practices. So we've gone this week 6:30 to 8:30 every day, and just in helmets only. And next week we will put pads on. Now we're scheduled to play Clark Central next Friday night and then on the road. And then the 4th of October, we're scheduled to host Jackson County. As far as playing a football game, what we're really going to do, guys, is we're going to read our kids.
Right.
We're going to read our coaching staff. Obviously, being not having pads on, you guys know football is a physical game. We've got to be physically ready to play, but I'll be honest with you, my most important concern is, one, are we mentally ready to play? And two, do I have coaches that are mentally ready to coach? And we've had to, you know, we lost our defensive coordinator, Coach A. So, you know, we're having to do things defensively, you know, without a defensive coordinator. So we're adjusting there. So, as far as playing, that decision will be made, but it hasn't been made yet.
Yeah. And winning and losing becomes so unimportant in a hurry, Sam. But football is not necessarily unimportant. And that's what I loved about what Coach said. And I've read some of the other things you've said, Coach, to other people, and just talking about how that's how you heal. Being out there, I mean, I can't even imagine what you've dealt with and the whole staff losing a coach and then losing, you know, some other students and some other staff members. That just so devastating. But football can be one of the things getting together that helps us heal. And unfortunately, that's all we can do at this time. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And that's what I've told people. I'm not afraid to express my faith. I'm not afraid to let people know that I serve a mighty God. You know, I'm in constant contact with our pastor at Bethlehem Church and with our team chaplain. And, you know, even myself, you know, I have to grieve. And that's what I've told our kids. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to see a man cry. It's okay to hug each other. It's okay to put your arm around somebody and say, hey, I'm going to be there. And I want kids to know that, not just our football team, but those other kids to know it's okay. And, you know, we went through something yesterday where we sat, you know, our team broke up into groups of 8 or 10, and we sat with grief counselors, and they talked about the stages of grief with our kids. And that was great. And we had a group of coaches separate from that. So it was really good, one, for our staff, and two, for our players to talk about those things. But, you know, that's what I keep telling people. We heal together. You know, that's how God made us. God didn't make us to sit in our room, which is the hardest part. You know, until we get back into school, our kids are sitting in their room on their phones, mm-hmm. but, you know, scrolling. But he made us to heal together. God made us to come together. And I see that, and I've seen our softball girls, you know, played a varsity game and won last night. Our volleyball teams have played, and it's great talking to those coaches and hearing their stories of how their kids are coming together. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, you know, we'll have our story where the football gets to play.
Yeah, spending time, folks, with only here on the Scoreboard Show with Coach Mike Hancock, head football coach at Appalachia High School, and just seeing how things are progressing with the team. When will the students go back into the building? Is that coming up next week?
Yes, sir. Monday we will have what's called, just like you do at the beginning of any school year, we'll do another open house. The kids have been in the building, though. They came to retrieve their, you know, obviously when everything happened, kids had to leave book bags, car keys, and belongings in the school. So they've been into school to get that. Monday they'll come in and do an open house. And then Tuesday up until fall break, we have fall break the week of October the 7th. So they will go through that week, half a days. And then after that, I'm pretty sure they'll start the full days.
Well, Coach, I just again commend you. Listen, coaches get things thrown at them all the time, Sam. But nobody in the United States gotten something thrown at them like Coach Hancock. And, Coach, I know you don't ask for those things, but you take it and you embrace it, and you just play that leadership role, my man. And I'm so thankful those kids have you.
Man, I appreciate it. Not, you know, that, like, you know, you've done a lot. And I bought different things from you, and, you know, not to make light of anything, Chris, but there is no, you know, there's no Chris Parker book, or there's no book written on how to do this. But I tell you what I have done. I called the Kevin Reaches, the Corey Mobs, the Travis Nolans, the Benji Harrisons. I call those guys, and those guys give me advice, and how, you know, they don't know how to handle the situation, but they've been in more situations than I have. And those guys, and there's others, you know, Robert Andrews at Walnut Grove, that, and those guys that I stay in contact with, and they say, hey, I understand, but they also give me advice, but they also, you know, pray with me and uplift me and encourage me. So there's a lot of great coaches in Northeast Georgia, but there's also not just guys that I know, but there's other programs that reach out and check on us too.
Everybody's thinking about you, Coach. Everybody.
Yes, sir.
Know, coaches step up when it's hard.
Yeah.
And then this is the hardest, you know, so I commend Coach for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Coach Hancock, we appreciate you sharing some time with us, and we're happy to know that the crew is back at work and you're getting reacclimated to being on the field and the way that it's been, you know, and please know what your activity means to the rest of the school and the community. That's the thing. We're talking about in football and the competition and the camaraderie that you guys have with your team, but just realize what a light you can be for those around the school and around your community too.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. But yeah, and just, you know, you guys know, you know, coaching is a calling, and we're called to do this. And obviously, being in a leadership position, you know, there's different things that I have to do. But, you know, the biggest thing for me is making sure, for, you know, one, my football coaches are okay, and two, my kids are okay. And that's, you know, how we're going to approach this. And, you know, when they're ready, you know, we'll attack that game. You know, it's going to be emotional, but, you know, it will be, I'm sure there'll be some tears at kickoff and some tears at the end, but, you know, that's okay.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I think the victory will come when we get to actually, you know, step on the field 7:30 on a Friday night and play a game.
Yeah, yeah. Coach Hancock, we thank you so much for the time, and all wishing all the best to you and the team and everyone there in the community, and thanks so much for spending some time with us this evening.
Yes, sir. I appreciate both of you guys for having me on.
All right. That is Coach Mike Hancock, the coach out of the Appalachian. Like you talked about, there's no playbook, there's no manual, there's no textbook that tells you how to deal with a situation like this. But you do the things that you know to do, to lean on, and it seems like Coach Hancock is doing that with his team.
Right, and that's what coaches do. They step up when it's hard, and this is the hardest, Sam. I mean, you've had, you know, I've been on teams that lost players, you know, to car accidents, and, you know, there's things. I feel like if there is such a thing, this is even harder, you know, it's something so personal as being in the school and losing a defense coordinator and some classmates. And
right.
But I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to now is I don't have a time machine to go back and fix that. Unfortunately, I don't. But I am looking forward to having Coach Hancock on the show down the road when they win them a big game and just talking about that.
Yeah.
You know, just because that regularness – and those kids are going to feel when they get something positive happening on the football field. It's not going to make all that other stuff go away.
No.
But it does give you that temporary, regular feeling.
Yeah.
And I look forward to talking to them about that one day.
Yeah. And I think that's something that everyone is listening and everyone who's familiar with their story, they're really pulling for that. They're really rooting for this group to pull through and have some positive things happening to them. We're so thankful they was able to spend some time with us tonight, and that they are doing something as part of the healing process there at Appalachian. All right, games are continuing. We're going to get some scores for you, and we got an update, I think, from some of our reporters. When we continue, it is the Scoreboard Show on a Friday night on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Keeping it local.
This is the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Nine floors up in our Midtown Atlanta studios on this Friday night. Football Friday night around the state and around the area, seeing some scores. Check in. We see in the Creekside has a 7-0 lead on Mays. That's the first quarter score. Second quarter score, Blessed Trinity is up 9-0 on Hebron Christian. That should be a really good ball game.
Yeah, just went 10-3.
10-3.
Scores, yeah, was, okay. I got a live version right here. 10, okay. Blessed Trinity 10, Hebron Christian 3. Mm-hmm. 4 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Carrollton's up 7-0. They're playing over in Birmingham tonight against Parker.
They blocked the punt, right?
You talked about that.
I talked about
the coach's checklist.
Teams.
You
I'm
said
sure,
it here, and it happened there.
I'm sure Joey King was listening right before the game and heard a few of my points on special teams.
Yes.
And then I see that Carrollton blocked the punt, ran it back for a touchdown. So 7-0 Carrollton over Parker early, Georgia versus Alabama tonight.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. They're playing in Birmingham. That game's on ESPN, too. Adaris was up on Lafayette 10-0. That's the first quarter score. As we watch for that one, Prince Avenue is playing Westside High School out of South Carolina. Westside is up on them, 14-7. That's a first quarter score.
Walton on the board first, going up 7-0 on North Cobb. Big, big region game on Score Atlanta. Yeah, 7-0 Walton early.
Long County is in Savannah tonight. You talked about Long County.
I've been talking about Long County.
You have been talking about them.
They're trying to go 5-0. They've never been 5. They've never been 4-0. I don't know if they've ever been 3-0. But they're 4-0 right now, trying to go to 5-0. What's happening with them?
They are leading 12-7, second quarter. They're playing Beach.
Beach. So they're about to win that game.
They're Savannah.
Power T.
Yeah.
And I told you last week about that Power T. No receivers, two tight ends, three backs.
Wow.
Lined up straight across like a T.
Yeah.
Everybody right or everybody left or counter. That's it.
That's it.
Maybe play action, throw it to them tight ends once a game. That's it.
That's all you're getting.
They don't kick extra points.
Whoa.
That's why they got 12. They missed both conversions.
Okay, there
you
go. They
go for two. Like, they don't waste time with all that stuff. All they practice is those few things. And they get good at it. They believe in it. It's a big deal in Michigan. Michigan high school football. You see a lot of power tee. I don't know. I really don't know. It just always has been.
Too cold to throw the ball?
I guess. But Coach Feaster is from up that way.
Okay.
Come down here, bring in the power tee.
Power tee.
I'm telling you. I've been talking to this guy for the last three. He got the job down there in 2021. Started having him on a podcast, talked to him a little bit. Just a unique guy, but really believed that they could win there.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting to see that because I'm telling you, that place had, I mean, I've been bad. I mean, however bad you think it was worse than that. Okay? Like, it was bad. So, for them to be 4-0, leading to go 5-0, I mean, it's really exciting when things like that happen.
We'll keep an eye and see how what they're doing as they play Beach down in Savannah tonight. And we just talked about Douglas. They're playing Cedar Grove tonight. Douglas up 7-2 on Cedar Grove. That is a second quarter
Douglas
score.
Up on Cedar Grove.
Up on Cedar Grove. Cass is up 3-0 on Cedartown. They're playing in Cedartown tonight.
Cass up on Cedar. Cass quarterback out for the year. Broke his leg last year.
Whoa.
Last week. Brody McWhorter. Very good player. So they're playing with the second-string quarterback. A pretty good performance so far by Cass.
So far, 3-0 up at Cedartown. And Chattooga. Chattooga's off to a good start. They're at our Murchie. They're up 14-0. That's a first-quarter score. All right, we got some updates from our reporters. Let's start with Garrett Chapman. He's up at Roswell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the High School Scoreboard Show. Garrett Chapman live at Roswell High School for the first ever region game that second year high school is going to play. The brand new high school, just 3 years old, playing the first ever region game, but they are down 14-0 to the home side. The Roswell Hornets here at Ray Manis Stadium. 14-0 is your score. And the quarterback, Trey Smith, he won the Georgia High School Football Daily Player of the Week last week, and it looks like he's trying to win it again today. He's already rushed for two touchdowns, and Roswell also dominating on defense. They've picked up a fumble recovery, and Nitrin Davenport also picks off a pass. So you've had four total possessions. It's been two touchdowns for Trey Smith and two turnovers for second year. 14-0 is your score. Second quarter just underway. Garrett Chapman here at Roswell High School. Sam and Chris, keep you all updated. Thanks, y'all.
All right, thanks a lot, Garrett, keeping an eye on things up there at Roswell. And, you know, you said it's kind of uncharted territory for second year.
Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you know. So they're playing over at Roswell. We're going to keep an eye on that one. Eric Slaughter, let's take a look at him. I think he's up at East Forsyth. Let's check in with him.
Sports Radio 92.9 Games, Friday night high school scoreboard show. This is Eric Slaughter, and I'm coming to you live from East Forsyth High School, way up here in Forsyth County for a battle of unbeatens. The East Forsyth Broncos are hosting the North Oconee Titans, and at the end of the first quarter, we are knotted at 7 apiece. East Forsyth got the opening kickoff and was driving, got into scoring position, but a fumble by their quarterback gave the ball over to the Titans, and the Titans knew what to do with it. They went down the field and put up 7 points. But the Broncos were not afraid. They returned the ensuing kickoff 40 yards, got up great field position, and tied up the game 22 yards later on a good quarterback pass. So we enter the second quarter in this battle of the unbeatens, knotted at 7 apiece. This will be a great game here from East Forsyth, and I look forward to checking in with you throughout the night. But for now, let's go back to the studio. Once again, Broncos 7, Titans 7. This is Eric Slaughter. Back to Sam and Chris.
All right, thanks a lot, Eric, at that one. That score surprised you.
Yeah, 7-7. I mean, East Forsyth is another team, a lot like Seckinger, fairly new school.
Right.
They're going to eventually be in that 6A, big time, big school for Forsyth County. But they're going to have a breakthrough win to be considered contenders. Well, North Oconee is one of the best teams in the state in their class. So, yeah, the longer that score sounds close, the more you start thinking East Forsyth might be somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, ain't the thing about it, we think that, what do they think? They're out there on the field with them and saying, all right, we hang with these guys. They know North Oconee's reputation.
You
they know
need that as a program. You need that. You know, the Falcons are grown men, and they needed it Monday night, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you need – Georgia State has kind of grown men. They needed it against Vanderbilt, you know, that confidence that you get. So, yes, some kids, 15, 16, 17, 18, really need to play for a while and say, man, we can play with these guys.
Yeah.
You know, we got this. And so I do think East Forsyth is feeling that after the first quarter.
All right, watch for that. We got Day-Day Lewis. He's checking on with the game here in the city of Atlanta. Let's check in with Day-Day.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Coach Chris Parker. Damian Day-Day Lewis live, guys, here at Midtown High School as the Maynard Jackson Jaguars and the Charles Drew Titans getting it on in their big region matchup. Both of these teams coming in, as I said, at 4-0. Looking to keep momentum behind them, and right now that momentum is favoring the Jaguars as they have a 7-0 lead here to start the second quarter thanks to a Jacob Jackson rushing touchdown. We'll keep you updated on all the highlights from this one here at Midtown High School. Maynard Jackson, Charles Drew here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Coach Chris Parker. Back to you guys.
All right, Day-Day with that one, and then the Jaguars with an early lead. I think this is going to be a pretty tight ball game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one to keep up with all night. Should be tight at Midtown High School.
Right.
I mean, Day-Day is right down the road.
We could almost throw a rock over there and get that from where we are.
He might can bring us something from the concession stand. Day-Day's listening. I mean, we wouldn't be mad about it.
They got good stuff at the concession stand.
At Midtown? I don't know.
No, we got to see.
Been a long time.
I know. We'll find out what they got over there. We got something good, you know.
You know, you don't get my size being overly picky, Sam. So, Day-Day. They got something good, okay?
Whatever you got. Send it this way. Let's check some more scores, Coach. Which ones are you seeing right now? Eastside. We talk about how good this team is.
Man, Eastside has been good this year.
They're up 21-0 on Flowery Branch. That's the first quarter score, but they've been off to a good start this season.
They really have. I've really been impressed with them. And Flowery Branch is, you know, an established program, and they're putting it on them. Eastside, you know, Eastside beat Newton. Eastside's a much smarter school. They beat Newton. They won the Newton County, whatever it is. You know, they won the county championship.
Yep.
So a couple scores that stuck out to me that I saw recently, Pope 13, Lassiter nothing in the second quarter, Alatoona 14, Dalton 14. Dalton really struggling this year.
Yeah.
If they could get that win, that would be great for that program, but Alatoona trying to get back to their old winning ways. So somebody's have a really disappointing loss in that game, and then somebody's gonna have a program building win. So it'd be interesting to see Wheeler 14, Marietta 3. So Wheeler with the early lead on.
That's a good ball game. A game down the road, we got a score. I don't know which quarter this is. Fitzgerald 7, Worth County 6. You know, Fitzgerald's always one of the top teams when you get down in that part of Georgia. North Hall is up 21-14 on White County. Mm. That's with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter of that game.
Two good teams there. North Hall and White County both got good ball teams. Landmark Christian and Lake Oconee Academy in the third quarter. Lake Oconee Academy up 21-14.
All right. Those are some scores that we're keeping an eye on. And, of course, our reporters are out keeping an eye on. We still got to get one from Simone Stanley. We'll see. Like I said, she's at a game in DeKalb County. Hopefully we will hear from her in the not-too-distant future. Like I said, if she's not out there with the Philadelphia Eagles stuff on anymore.
Yeah, they don't even play till Sunday, so we'll be all right.
we got no score right now. Scoreless between Osborne and South Cobb. No score.
No score.
At halftime.
How about that?
Scoreless at halftime.
Halftime.
Yeah.
Old school.
You could get
getting after it.
Game like that, nobody scoring. Just a big defensive struggle in that one. We'll keep an eye out on that one and see how things progress in that game as well. We told you the one final we had was the Holy Innocents was a winner 20-6, I believe that was, over Therrell in a game that's played earlier today. And so that was one game that's already gone final. But we're keeping up with some of the other scores as they continue to play on this Friday evening. Let's see, we got another one.
How about North Gwinnett 14, Parkview nothing.
Okay.
Mill Creek 7, Mountain View 0.
All right.
Central Gwinnett 7, Collins Hill 3. Now that's one to keep an eye on.
Okay.
Second quarter, early. But Collins Hill undefeated, great season so far. Central Gwinnett hadn't really played anybody like that. But if Central Gwinnett could finish that one, that'd be a coach
that
of the
would
night
be big.
Candidate.
It really would be. Really would be. So we'll keep an eye and see how that one goes. Folks, it's time for school days. We got one coming up that I think you're going to enjoy hearing from. Played his high school ball down at Augusta, but this guy has won championships at every level, high school, college, and the Super Bowl in the National Football League. Deion Grant is our school days guest, and he's straight ahead. On this Friday night, you're listening to The Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now,
back to more of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Taking it back.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's school days on the High School Scoreboard Show. Sam and Coach check in with the legend of Georgia high school football. Brought to you by Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is the High School Scoreboard Show and a time in the show that we always enjoy. Spending time with someone, yes, reflecting on the school days. You know, before things got so serious, just having fun playing ball, right?
Here in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, there's some guys tonight, Sam, playing that, you know, way past our time, but 20 years from now,
yep.
You know, they're going to be somebody. But right now, they're playing high school ball.
Right.
You know, and
right.
And when you get to be somebody, people don't always ask you about them school days.
They really don't.
And we do.
We do.
So who we got tonight?
Man, we got a guy now, I'm telling you, who's accomplished, has been a champion at every level. And remarkable things. And, you know, because I lived and worked in Augusta for some time, just got a special place in my heart for folks from down that way. And he is from that way. And Josie High School alum, the University of Tennessee. We're not going to talk about Tennessee.
We're probably not talking about Tennessee.
You know, and then Super Bowl with the Giants. We won't talk about Friday nights in Augusta. And joining us now is Deion Grant, who last year became a member of the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer, welcome to the Scoreboard Show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Deion, thanks for joining us, man. I was doing my homework, Sam, and I looked, and you say, man, it's a Georgia High School Hall of Famer. This is the Hall of Famer, okay? I looked at Josie High School. They've had a team since 1964,
yep.
Okay? Not since 1964, 65 teams or so. They've had three region championships, okay? Three really good teams in 64 years. They were when Deion was a sophomore, a junior, and a senior. How about that? I'd say he's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right? Right.
what do you think of when you think of those times, Deion? What comes to mind?
Oh, man. I wish that my high school can go back to them time and start winning again. That's the main thing. But, no, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Kept the community together. That was the main thing. You know, I think that's the only time that I can say a lot of animosity and bad things that was going on against different neighborhoods. That was the time when all the neighborhoods came together and supported one thing, and that was, you know, Joseph football and Joseph sports.
Isn't that something, Sam?
Yeah.
And it's true. That's what football can do.
Yeah.
At its best, that's what it can do.
I mean, fantastic down in Augusta to accomplish that, because there's so much good football around that area, but this was in the city, in Richmond County. Talk about your team, and especially, you know, those years that you were there, and leading up to that part, you know, when you guys were playing your youth ball, did you have an inkling that it might lead to what it led to?
I'm not going to say rec ball, because even though the neighborhood I stayed, it's crazy because the neighborhood I stayed in, we had a football team. And I played on that before I was old enough to really play on it. But I used to walk, and you familiar with it, Sam. I used to walk from Southside all the way to Sunset.
Okay.
Just to play on their team because they had a better coach at the time. And we ended up winning the championship and everything, won a couple of championships with that particular coach. But the kids was going to different schools. You know, some was going to Laney from his neighborhood, and some of them was going to Josie. But, you know, once I got to middle school and all the kids came together and we won on that level also, we knew that we had something special at that time. Because we stayed together and had fun together and did everything together. We knew we was going to go to the high school, the same high school that next year.
Yeah. Deion, talk to me a little bit about what you did in the game, because I know you were a defensive back. Surely they gave you the ball too, right?
Yes, I played. I mean, early when I first got there, I played some everything on offense. I played running back, you know, throughout middle school and younger. I was a running back the whole time. But when we went and won in middle school and everything, I was playing running back, actually. When I got to high school, my first year when we won it, I was playing varsity. Then I went down and played JV also, and we won it playing JV. I was playing running back and receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got my sophomore year and played strictly varsity, I was a receiver. I actually got recruited to play receiver also. I actually got a few snaps in Tennessee, but I just stuck with the DB part of it. But, yeah, I was a pretty good receiver also.
That's what I thought, you know. And so he was like a pre-Travis Hunter, you know. They didn't even give him that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, but he could have done it, right, Deion? You could have. They didn't give you that opportunity.
I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with Travis. You know, I guess, you know, we had too many good guys at Tennessee for me even to think about that on the offensive side. I take my hat off to Travis playing 80, 90% of the plays on offense and 100 on defense. Yeah, that's strong.
That's what's different about him. And, you know, he was one of the guys we covered just 3 years ago in Georgia. Deion, is there a moment? I know you guys won a state championship in 1995, but is there a specific moment in your time there that stands out, like one game, one play? Is there one moment that really stands out to you?
Yes. Colquitt. 1 year we played Colquitt. The first year we played them, you know, we really never went on a road like that in an environment like that where – you know, you pull up in this town and there's only one school in that town and, you know, you got, you know, the whole town shut down just for this game. Yep. And, you know, it was a culture shock and everything. You know, I'm going to a school that's 98% African-Americans or minorities, and to go to this town where it's mixed and, you know, you have all your Caucasian on one side, all your African-Americans on one side, and they cheering for this one team. And it was, you know, it caught us off guard. So that, and they beat us, you know, they beat us. And the next year we had an opportunity to go back down there and we paid them back.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say that particular game, that's the one that stands out more than anything from high school.
Sam, that was 29 years ago today. Not trying to make Deion feel old, but 29 years ago today, almost September, I think it's tomorrow, September 21st, 1995, Josie beat Colquitt 35-30.
Yeah.
In Moultrie.
Yeah.
How about that? And went on to win the state championship.
Yep.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. You see a lot of young people now. We talk a lot about recruiting in this state. What was your process? You know, as far as you know, being recruited. You know, coming from Augusta. When I was living in Augusta, there had been a good deal of guys who had gone to play. You had your Chip Banks. You had your Leroy Urban. You had guys, you know, Jimmy Johnson, who come from your school. Guys who had gone on to play in the National Football League had come from Augusta. Talk about, you know, your recruitment and you know, the schools that came down there to see you, and you end up at Tennessee.
Oh, that was the life. You know, it was still not believable because we had Jimmy, but we didn't have a lot of guys from our community. So we had a group, though. The year I graduated and the year before that, we had a lot of college coming into, you know, this little small inner city school. And by time, you know, they thought I was a senior when I was a junior. But my junior year, we had every college you could think about because we had several All-Americans on the team, from the quarterback to the receivers, other DBs. They had multiple guys signed with Alabama, Georgia Techs, the UGAs. And so it was crazy. Then me being the number one DB in the country at the time, I had every school and every letter sent to the school, or even showing up to the school just to see me play and practice. But it was mind-boggling too, because you had to make a decision. You had to narrow it down to five schools, and a lot of schools you didn't visit. And, you know, being here, being from Georgia, Georgia and Georgia Tech was this. And Tennessee just did a great job with who they sent on the road to recruit. And they had two brothers that came in and sat down. And at the time, we were still staying, you know, in low-income housing. And they came to our neighborhood, and Coach Foreman came inside in that living room with my mom, and none of the other coaches didn't do that. None of them did that. You know, he felt comfortable walking in a very hostile neighborhood at the time and sat down and just looked my mom in the eye, and just told her that. I think what separated was he said, we need him. And most of the other schools said, we want them. And I think that just separated them from any other school that would recruit me at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Great story.
Yeah.
Great story. What advice do you have for the guys today? Guys going through, I mean, I know it's a little bit different now, obviously, but what advice do you have for them who want to be like you? They want to be in that same situation on that same couch with their mom.
Enjoy the process. That's what I have to say. I think now, because of all the stuff that's, you know, going on with paying the guys, and now you have the portal and all that other stuff, you know, it kind of hurt the kids that's coming out of high school. So if you have the opportunity to be recruited and colleges is actually coming to look at you and you have a chance to commit and sign, I tell them just make sure that you take advantage of every opportunity. Mm-hmm. Go to all the recruiting, if you can afford it, go to all the recruiting visits you can go to, and then make that decision. Once you make that decision, be happy with it.
Yeah.
Great advice, by the way.
Fantastic, fantastic. Folks, we're spending time talking with Deion Grant, a member of the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. What was that experience like for you? I don't know how many states do what we do here in this state, recognize our great players from their high school time, and to be in that room and realize you had that common thread with them.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. Being that, you know, I was just celebrating, you know, two great friends of mine going in, probably more friends, but it was definitely two of my close friends, one of my best friends, Takeo, and Tamworth Edwards going in the first year. They actually came up with the high school, Georgia High School Hall of Fame. And then I was able to go in the next year with my ex, you know, teammate from college, and also my roommate as far as Jamal Lewis and some of the other guys that I played with, like a Marcus Stroud, and had great relationships with Charles Green and all these other guys. It was amazing just to see them guys and seeing that I was being honored on the same stage as them.
Yeah, it was just a lot of good players that came from Georgia. I mean, just a lot. When you look at all the colleges, just really exciting. Sam and I both sit on that board. We voted for you, Dion, just so you know.
I appreciate that.
That's the closest we're going to get to it. But, I did always hear how great a player you were. And I know people in Georgia were so irritated that they let you get out of Georgia because of how good a player you were. And that's how I knew. That's who I knew who this was, Sam, when I was coaching. Yeah. It was a recruiting story. You know, like you couldn't let Jamal Lewis. You couldn't let Deion Grant. You couldn't let these people get out of Georgia. You know? And that if Georgia was going to be how it is right now,
right,
that was the thought. So just really, really enjoy following your career, Deion, and excited we're getting a chance to talk to you about your school days. Nobody asks you about Josie probably ever, do they?
No. If they do, they ask us about the band. A real good band. But you know what? It's so funny that you brought that up about Jamal getting out of Georgia and Deion getting out of Georgia. If Georgia would have recruited, and I hate to bring this up, we're in Georgia, but if Georgia would have recruited Jamal, it's a strong possibility that because I was committed to Georgia. Because I majored in engineering, so it was between Georgia and Georgia Tech. I was going to going down to Georgia every other week because Jonas was there, and Jonas was a great friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And, and I had a great relationship with some of the guys that was on the team. But me and Jamal knew each other from high school, was on All-American teams together, Georgia-Florida games together. And we actually went to the recruiting visit to Tennessee together, and Jamal actually got in my ear because Georgia wasn't recruiting him, and they was recruiting Jasper Saints a lot more. And he was just totally against, and he kind of persuaded me also with,
That's how recruiting works, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it works, yeah.
Yes. And we couldn't stand Florida at the time. We couldn't stand Florida. We was rivals in high school against them. And we knew Tennessee and Florida rival was big, and we feel like Peyton could not beat Florida, so we can actually be the team to go up there and change that. So he put all that in my ear, us going back and forth talking, and that's one of the at least 50% to 60% reason why I signed with Tennessee.
And that was the story I kind of knew, which was that they didn't recruit these right guys, and then at least other guys, and you know, but. What a great story. And the Florida-Tennessee game used to be so amazing.
Is that ever going to be a thing again?
He hopes not. He hopes it stays like it is. Yeah. Like it's going to be.
Right.
It's like it's going
to
be.
No, because that had to be magical to step on the field for that game. It had to be magical. Yeah. And you want the guys who are there now to experience that, and it's just not there. And I don't know if we're going to see that come back.
I think they have a Tennessee-Alabama now. Can't really say a Tennessee-Georgia because Georgia been owning them. Well, I guess Florida used to own them for a minute before, you know, we got there. I can't remember how many times Florida beat them before we got there. But I think it'll have to be the day moments now is the Tennessee-Alabama. And hopefully they can pull some off on UGA because, you know, Tennessee still recruit heavy in Georgia. So it's a lot on playing against their hometown team, college. But I don't know. I don't see it unless Florida just turn some things around and get back to where they used to be. But some kind of way, Florida still find a chance to beat Tennessee. Okay, regardless of how good they are.
They're going to struggle this year, Deion. I'll make bold prediction. They're going to struggle this year with them. I've watched both teams play.
I hope so.
They're going to struggle this year.
Hey, before we let you go, I got a shout out here on Twitter. Coach Bailey. Coach Bailey's up here at Newton now. He says, hey. Yeah, Deion is Josie family, and he says, what's up?
You tell him I said, what's up, Coach B, state champion.
Absolutely. State
champion.
Well, I had a chance to spend some time together with him down in Macon not too long ago. We ended up on the honors court for the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in this room with him and Brian Jordan, and I'm like, you know, Lucius Sam. Like,
all these guys can play DB except you.
I'm like, what am I doing in this room?
We had a full defensive backfield and Sam.
And me, right? You know? But it was great to be down there and spend some time and talk with him you know, talk about Augusta times and some of the great times down there. You know, we appreciate you spending some time with us here tonight and sharing some great memories of your school days, man. Great times down in Augusta, down in Richmond County, some fantastic Friday nights. And, hey, man, we appreciate you spending some time with us here tonight.
Anytime y'all want me back on, just let me know. But I really appreciate this. It was good reminiscing and thinking about them good old days.
Before I let you go, you got your foundation, man. Tell us how people can reach out to your foundation.
Well, right now we're revamping it, but they can always reach out to me through social media, Grant Foundation _1. Right now, but yes, yeah, called Grant Foundation. Grant acronym for Greatness Requires All Necessary Tools, and it's catered to underprivileged kids.
Fantastic.
And we do everything from scholarships to mentorships to Christmas giveaways, holiday giveaways, and everything. So we do it all around the spectrum.
Fantastic, fantastic. Great things, man. Thanks so much for the time again, all right?
Oh, yeah. Thank y'all. And speaking of foundation, be on the lookout for ABA Bulldogs, my 12U team that I'm a part of, because they'll be the next generation in a few years going into that high school level. We got some guys that I know for a fact going to be some All-Americans on that team. So
let's
the
go.
12U ABA Bulldogs. Right now, they're number one in the state, and they're number 4 or 5 in the country.
Yo. All right now. There we go. There we go.
Yes.
There we go. There we go. Fantastic. Great work. Great work. Great work, man. Well, we appreciate you so much, and thanks for spending some time with us here on the Scoreboard Show.
All right. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
All right, that is Deion Grant. Great to spend some time with him, and he got a little bit of that into that recruiting story. But that we've heard that before. With
we baited that one to him. Yeah, that's a true story though. I mean,
yeah.
Georgia, look, got some great guys. You know, Coach Goff, Coach Donnan, Coach Rick, great guys. But they did miss some guys that then led to some other guys missing, and it's what allowed Florida and Tennessee to be a little better than Georgia for a while.
Yeah,
but not now.
No, not now.
Not now.
You know, and even he said, you think Tennessee or Florida it would be a thing again? He you can't see it right now.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ways off.
Yeah.
One day, yeah.
Ways off. All right, we're headed for the 9 o'clock hour, top of the hour. More scores, more updates from our reporters on this Friday night. It's the Scoreboard Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.